God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Durwood Hatch is back with Dr. Larry Spargimino today to talk more about intriguing information in his book, God Did It, Not the Big Bang and Evolution. Brother Hatch has a degree in science from Penn State, worked in the technology field, and served over 20 years on the board of directors for Altoona Bible Institute and 3 years as a faculty member there. Brother Larry, tell us a little bit about the book, God Did It.
Brother Hatch offers readers a fair-minded approach to the sciences. Why do so many begin scientific inquiry with assumptions that have no grounds, no scientific basis? With an emphasis on cosmology and biology, Brother Durwood Hatch candidly discusses the errors inherent in current scientific worldviews. And we got into that a little bit yesterday, and we're going to continue. In yesterday's program, we were speaking about the Big Bang. Today, we're going to address the issue of evolution. Durwood, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Oh, it's a great privilege. Thank you for the opportunity.
As we begin this second interview, Durwood, what is the current state of the theory of evolution?
Well, I think it has been mortally wounded by a number of things. We're four different considerations, but we'll start off with the DNA, which I think is the wonder of wonders. It's a great, majestic, God-designed mechanism. It guarantees that every living thing will bring forth after his own kind, as we shall see. Some people might be surprised to learn that even a tiny virus and a giant redwood tree also have DNA. DNA is another verification of the perfect harmony between the Bible and true science. You may wonder why I use the term true science. It's because there's a lot of false science in the world. You'll recall that the Apostle Paul warned Timothy 2,000 years ago to avoid the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. We don't have time to go into the depth about this problem, but there are many scientists today who sacrifice scientific integrity for their prestige and their money. My book has a picture of what's called the evolutionist tree of life, and I've retitled that the Tree of Lies. You'd be surprised to see what's at the top of that tree. It happens to be a bat. And with what's known now about DNA reproduction, evolution's on its deathbed, as is the case with the Big Bang. Scientists are being proven in error every day. The field is controlled by scientists who don't want any contrary opinions or evidence refuting evolution to be published. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to tell you what is killing the thing. You gave the quote by Dr. Frick, one of the discoverers of DNA, yesterday about it ignoring the actual evidence. And willfully deny evidence is certainly not true science. Another evolutionist wrote that no matter how mystifying the explanations are to the uninitiated, materialism is absolute. We cannot allow a divine foot in the door. So these are the kind of oppositions that we face as for trying to get at the truth. We found that another great scientist said that evolution is unproved and unprovable. We believe in it because creation is unthinkable. So they will not accept what the Bible says or what we believe. Well, we'll discuss macroevolution first and then later microevolution. Macroevolution is a claim that one species can become another by gradual changes over vast spans of time, such as millions or billions of years. Microevolution has to do with much more modest changes.
Well, certainly the public perception of evolution theory has been distorted. You tell an account, you say, I very recently went to our city county library to research the latest information and discovered that there were more than 30 books promoting evolution and not one disputing it. Now that, I believe in education, and I know you do as well. You're well educated, I'm well educated, but education involves looking at everything, not suppressing one aspect of the truth. And yet here you point out that in your library, 30 books promoting evolution and not one disputing it. And as you pointed out yesterday, you know, there are so many scientists who want to maintain tenure and want to maintain academic credibility, and so they have to ignore the truth, as that quote from Dr. Francis Crick. They tell you, don't look at the facts, don't look at the truth, don't be fooled by it, just don't believe in creation, it's impossible, believe in evolution. Well, that certainly shows how biased the people are. But Durwood, you speak about the four categories to consider. What are the four categories to consider regarding evolution?
Well, the first one is DNA. The second is the fossil record. The third is irreducible complexity. And the fourth is information inborn in God's creatures. How does DNA refute evolution?
Yes.
DNA has been called the blueprint of life because it defines every minute detail of a person's physical makeup. DNA is a very large molecule that exists in double helix form. If it were stretched out on a table or floor, it'd be almost 6 feet in length. Yet every one of the cells of the human body has a copy of DNA in it, inside itself. There are estimated 7 trillion cells in a person's body, and yet this copy of the DNA is in every one of them except mature red blood cells. Human DNA contains 46 chromosomes that provide all the genetic information used to make our individualistic body, to control its growth, to control repairs, to injure or sick body parts, and to control reproduction. The human DNA molecule has 6 billion bits of encoded information within it. Imagine that. It can fit into a tiny cell, of which there are 7 trillion, and yet there are 6 billion bits of encoded information. The human cell typically contains each 10,000 of genes. Such a proliferation of varied information assures there will never, ever be 2 absolutely identical human beings. God doesn't make clones, and everybody should be delighted to know that he or she is unique. None of this can come about this by random chance. The faithful perpetuation of each species and uniqueness of individuals depends upon the DNA.
So that is amazing that every one of us is absolutely unique. We don't have the same retina, the same fingerprints. We're special, created in the image of God, and that of course is not true of animals, is it?
No. Well, it's true in everything that has DNA. No two are ever going to be alike.
Right. Well, now. Certainly, DNA refutes evolution, but what part do fossils play in proving evolution to be wrong?
Well, just say one more thing about DNA.
Okay.
It's an awesome thing in makeup and function. Without it, all life would be in a state of chaos. In fact, there probably could be no life. It carries all the genetic information from parents to offspring, and no mother would know what to expect when she gave birth if it weren't for DNA. Human or animals, trees or plants, every living thing might produce a monstrosity rather than a being of their own kind if it didn't have DNA that's been inherited the characteristics, the genes, from their parents. Well, now, the probability of DNA, if random chance, is again beyond possibility. Now, the next thing that we have to consider is the fossil record. And it turns out, very briefly, that the fossil record, the deepest that the man has been able to go into the earth, it goes down to the what's called the Cambrian rock strata, and there is found fossil bones of every living creature that was all created at the same moment. And the strata rock beneath that one, there's no indication of life at all. But what that's telling us is that God created a massive number of various living creatures all at the same time, and if you get those bones out, you can recognize the bones of the various creatures. They have not changed. They're the same today as they were whenever those bones were deposited, when those creatures died. In other words, there have been no changes. The theory of evolution by Darrow says that there must be all kinds of intermediate forms of those fossils, and absolutely none have been found. There's a number of scientists in England. They had brought together a huge number, I think 180 scientists, who were to look into the possibility of evolution, in not only in human beings, but in various animals and in plants. And they came to the conclusion there is absolutely nothing that supports the theory of evolution. Everything supports the Bible and creationism. And so the fossil record is another thing that really cripples and destroys the theory of evolution.
Wow, there's so much evidence about that, as you've pointed out. Well, let's pause, friends, for a moment and get our announcer, Jerry, to the microphone. I know you want your own copy of Durwood Hatch's book, God Did It. Brother Jerry, how may our listeners get a copy of this book?
Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or go to the Internet. Our website is at swrc.com. One copy of God Did It will be sent for an offering of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Back now to Brother Larry and his guest, Durwood Hatch.
Durwood, we've been speaking about DNA refuting evolution, the fact that if there was no DNA, a mother would not know what she would produce. A human being might produce a cow might produce a reptile or who knows what. And then you spoke about fossils playing a very important role in proving evolution wrong. Now, you did mention irreducible complexity. What is irreducible complexity?
Well, it's there's a very involved definition of it, but Dr. Behe, who I believe brought up this thing in the first place, used a simple mousetrap to illustrate this. Mousetrap has five distinct parts. Every part must be present at all times, and they have to be there at the beginning or it will not function as a mousetrap. That's what irreducible complexity, put down to the simplest terms, is. And again, he has many things, particularly having to do with the human body, and he proves that DNA could not exist because DNA depends upon a substance called AMP to produce it. But in turn, DNA provides the chemical formula which creates AMP. So both must be necessary at the very beginning of life. There could be no life without the two simultaneously being there at the beginning and always being there. He cites a number of other things like the eye and the more miraculous thing that it can do, and truly a miracle. One of the things that Darwin admitted, that he couldn't, he couldn't explain the way that the eye has been formed by a slow, progressive changes, then he admitted that his theory would be destroyed. And the eye is so complex, so perfectly engineered, so perfect in its functions that it cannot be imitated or could not be produced by evolution in any form or any imaginative scheme. The blood clotting system, Dr. Behe proves the same thing. Everything had to be there at the same time as from the beginning. The immune system, that is the basis of irreducible complexity, things that must be there at the beginning for a human being or any other animal to survive. And it's a wonderful concept because it certainly proves that these things could not have formed bit by bit by evolution.
Right, a human being could only exist if the eyes were formed. I mean, if you had a human being coming into existence and had no eyes or maybe no teeth or no mouth, how would it survive? It would have become extinct. So as you're explaining, irreducible complexity means that that organism, in order to survive, had to be unbelievably complex. The idea of stage by stage or step by step evolution just is not scientifically tenable. And yet here we have so many scientists who just go and fly in the face of scientific evidence. Now, there's one other area. What is meant by information present in the creation?
Well, aside from the fact of those 106 factors that must be perfect, there's also the consideration of, they give examples of such as honeybees and beavers and various other animals, dolphins, that the, for instance, the honeybees, when they build a hive, it turns out that hive is a hexagon, the comb is made of hexagonal formed cells, and this is the most efficient possible storage unit that there can be, because all the walls share each other. In other words, a wall will serve for two or three other cells. And also in the case of the beaver with his unique teeth that are, not only that, but the beaver makes a dam. He structures it with a 45-degree angle. It turns out engineering has found out that is the very finest and the very best angle at which to have the dam built. And another example is a dolphin, and the remarkable way that it can go through the water so fast, and that they discovered that it was uniquely designed with a particular snout to make that possible. In other words, God has made the various creatures, and he has given them an intelligence that they would never have without him. And if you find a bunch of bees and thousands of miles apart, they're all doing the same thing. The beavers do the same thing. These animals have this information that God put within them at the very beginning. And it proves that there was an infinite, wonderful God and Father with his intelligent design that made that possible.
Well, I know in reading your book and just studying this whole issue in a little more detail, I think the more we come to understand science, true science, now not scientism or science falsely so-called, but the more we understand true science, I believe that it leads us to that point of worship. I mean, it just elevates our loving Heavenly Father, Blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit so much, his infinite wisdom, his grace, his power, his intelligence to figure all of this out. So, I mean, he's like a master chess player who has just, you know, designed every move, knows what's going to happen. And I think if we have a book like yours, and if we look at the scriptures and what the scriptures say about God as our Heavenly Father, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, my, what praise there is in our hearts for Him. And I think there's a real place for Christians to read, especially Christian young people, to read and to understand that science is important. Science is not contrary to the Word of God. Now, science falsely called science is because it's science with an agenda, with a political agenda, but true science magnifies our Heavenly Father. And I think your book has pointed out so well. You know, Durwood, you've got a couple of things that are really fascinating. On page 113, you speak about miracles, and you say, "I have never heard nor read from any source what I present in this chapter." And then you speak about the longest day in Joshua chapter 10, that there was no day like that day before after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And then you go on and say that this scripture, among others, has long been scoffed at by those who claim that the Bible is filled with myths and cannot be believed. They maintain that this could only happen if the Earth's rotation were suddenly halted, which would cause enormous catastrophes such as massive earthquakes, tidal waves, destructive winds, and many lesser calamities, and they are correct in this if God did not prevent such things. However, God had a much simpler but effective way to perform this miracle. As we learned from the previous chapter, light is subject to gravitational force. So all God needed to do was to manipulate the sun and moon's light by changing the gravitational field. Well, Durwood, that's amazing. I've never seen that anywhere, and I really believe it's original with you. That's a marvelous insight.
Thank you. And get back to the Bible, read it, and appreciate God as they should.
Amen. Well, Durwood, thank you so much for these two excellent interviews. Brother Jerry, come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of God Did It.
Thanks, Brother Larry. To get the book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go to our website at swrc.com on the Internet. The book is 292 pages in length and is offered in appreciation of a $20 contribution for those of you in the United States, $22 for our friends in Canada. With a keen understanding of science and the Bible, Brother Durwood Hatch offers clear and innovative answers to some of science's most difficult problems. As you heard on today's program, Dr. Spargimino discovered information related to the scriptures that he had not seen before. And I must tell you, Brother Larry is certainly not a novice when it comes to knowing the Bible. I use him as a concordance quite often. So there's a very good possibility that you and I can learn from God Did It, not the Big Bang or evolution. Be sure to call, write, or go online today for your copy. You may also want both programs in this series. They're available on CD or tape for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. To get the book, the programs, or both, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, P.O. Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. This coming Monday is Labor Day, and we realize some of you will have a different routine, but if you can, be sure to hear our program. Brother Larry and I will be sharing information about the holiday that we think you'll find quite interesting. We've got today's Bible in the News report next over many of these stations. Have a blessed weekend, complete with worshiping God, and if you can, join us Monday for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. What happens when the United States sends money and materials to enemies? We remember that the Japanese returned the supplies sent to them in the form of war materials during World War II. Now, the U.S. is sending money to the Palestinian Authority, an avowed enemy of not only the United States, but Israel as well. Fox News reported on August 4th, quote, The Palestinian Authority is spending more than $5 million per month in salaries for 5,500 convicted and alleged terrorists imprisoned in Israel. Payments that defy congressional rules for U.S. funding to the PA, according to a new report from an Israeli research institute. Palestinian Media Watch released a report that found that all Palestinian and Israeli minority Arabs in Israeli prisons for terror acts have been legally receiving a monthly salary from the PA under a new law passed in April that simply formalizes what has long been a PA practice. The U.S. funds the PA's general budget. Through the PA budget, the U.S. is paying the salaries of terrorist murderers in prison and funding the glorification and role modeling of terrorists, the report reads. The average salary of a prisoner is greater than Palestinian civil servants. Prisoners, on average, receive $3,200 a month compared with $2,800 for civil servants. The U.S. government provided nearly $600 million to the PA last year, including $225 million in direct budgetary assistance to the PA, the report stated. But the PA's new law may violate congressional rules for providing financial aid to the region. Under a 2010 funding legislation that lays out the rules for supplying money to the West Bank and Gaza, the Secretary of State shall take all appropriate steps to ensure that such assistance is not provided to or through any individual, private or government entity, or educational institution that the Secretary knows or has reason to believe advocates, plans, sponsors, engages in, or has engaged in terrorist activity, according to the report. Close quotes. Well, that's bad enough, but what if those terrorists get out of prison? What will they do to Israel or the United States? No one knows for sure, but quite often it has been found that they return to their former lives committing acts of terrorism. One thing is certain, Paul was correct in what he said about the last days. The apostle wrote this to Timothy, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. You can get a complimentary copy by calling, writing, or visiting our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program when, once again, we include a Bible in the News report on this radio station.